Hey everyone, welcome back to Coffee with Craner. This is episode 135, and today I'm here with the Member of Parliament for Essex, Chris Lewis. He has been elected in 2019 and then re-elected in 2021. Before entering federal politics, Chris Lewis was a municipal councillor in Kingsville, Ontario, and was heavily involved with 13 standing committees for the town. He was also a member of his family business, which specialized in non-intrusive sewer and water repair. And he was a firefighter for 7.5 years and a farmer. And fun fact, he loves black labs.
I do love black labs, okay. Specifically female black lab puppies.
Okay. And you're a hunter as well.
Yeah, I love to hunt. I love to sports shoot. It's all about the relationships you can build with your family and friends along the way. So, that's a big passion of mine. And I get to now celebrate it with my children and hopefully one day with my grandchild.
Yes, yes. I just got my my PAL and my hunting license, and I'm ready to go.
Welcome to the team.
Thank you. Thank you. Every show, I start off with a question relating to coffee. Where in the riding of Essex is your favorite place?
I think if I didn't say this podcast, it would be the wrong answer, right? Wouldn't that be the wrong answer?
Right here, right now.
I think so. You know, I would suggest that any cup of coffee leads to a conversation. Mm-hmm. And whether I'm in Amherstburg or in Kingsville or in Belle River or in LaSalle, anywhere across the county, the cup of coffee is the coffee. And by the way, I love black coffee.
Okay.
Not to be
You're simple.
Messed up. Not to be messed up with black labs. I love black coffee, and but it's about the conversation. But if I had to give you one spot, it would be sitting on my father's couch and talking to Dad. Mm-hmm. Dad and I quite often will meet at 6 o'clock in the morning and just have a cup of coffee, and anything and everything goes.
Yeah.
But it's the time spent, and why I enjoy it so much is to really peel off that knowledge, to really understand more and more about business, about life, about family, and those types of things. So I'll have coffee with anyone, but if I have to have it with someone, it'd be my dad.
And just to lean in on that a little bit, was your dad a big inspiration to you, being in the family business and running for council and then as an MP?
Yeah, dad is an enormous inspiration for me. I do my best to be a role model, much like my father has for our family. He puts himself, he puts everybody else before him. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really, really admire about him. Incredibly inspirational, incredibly smart individual, both on the business side and on the family side, but really on the community side. He's selfless, and he just gives and gives and gives. And I do my best to do that, but they always say, you become like the people you hang around with.
Yep.
And if I become even half the man he is, I'll be a happy camper.
Yes, yes. No, that's very important. And it's good to have that support system in politics and in business. So how did you decide, I want to enter federal politics? You were on council in Kingsville. Mm-hmm. How did this all start for you?
So I was a firefighter before I got on the council. I've always had a driver of service. And as you know very mm-hmm. well, politics is service, and it's serving the people and not serving yourself. And so as a firefighter, I loved it to death. I loved the people. Didn't love going to the ugly scenes, but I loved the people. And after 7.5 years of being a firefighter, I had an opportunity to go work for a family business in Romulus, Michigan. Well, actually all of the United States, and to run that division of our company. And so I had to leave the fire department. And subsequent to that, of course, I got onto Kingsville Council and absolutely adored it, as I'm sure you do too, right? Adored every last minute of it. And then I ran for mayor and unfortunately wasn't successful. Didn't lose because I learned.
Yes.
And when I ran for mayor, I lost, of course, and that's okay. And so then I just kind of went off and said, I guess nobody wants me, right? I guess nobody wants me. Mm-hmm. But there was always a fire way down deep in my belly that said, you need to do something. So what's the best way you can serve the majority of the people? So I decided I'd throw my hat in the ring for provincial politics back in 2018.
Okay.
And I ran under Doug Ford. And although my amazing team at the last minute, I became a candidate last minute, we lost the election. We had picked up a little over 16,000 votes.
Wow.
Provincially, here locally in Essex. And so I said, okay, nobody wants me. I'm just going to go find something else to do, right? And because we did such a good showing, my team did such a good showing. And remember, in politics, I'm only the face and the name, right? Mm-hmm. It's everybody behind you. And, of course, I had an opportunity to run federally. And the great folks of Essex said, you know what I think it is? I think it's they don't want me as their mayor. They don't want me as their MPP. But they said, stop asking, and we're just going to send you to Ottawa. I think that's what it is. But it's all about service. And that's my driver. How can I help the majority, as many people as I possibly can? And this was a great conduit for that.
Mm-hmm. And I'll have to, just relating to this a little bit, losing an election, well, learning from the election, it's not a good experience. How did you pick yourself back up and run again? Because it can mess with you mentally.
It sure can. It's devastating, because when you lose an election, it feels as though you're an outcast, nobody wants you. And the truth of the matter is, it's quite frankly not the case.
Mm-hmm.
So generally speaking, in provincial and federal elections, unless you're a really, really, really big name, you're only about 7%. Like the person himself or herself is only about 7%. The rest really is on the party and on the leadership of the party. And it took me a little bit to understand that. But how did I do it? I go back to the provincial election. I look at my team, that blood, sweat, and tears, that said, no, we're behind you. We believe in you. Let's do it again. I look at my parents. They said, hey, we love you regardlessly. Don't stop. Don't stop fighting. And so I almost believe that you have to learn how to lose before you can learn how to win.
Mm-hmm.
And by winning, I mean not just the election, but life in general.
Yes.
And so it's all about the people you surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And timing is a huge one, right?
Timing's enormous. Oh, my goodness. Perfect. But very, very, very well said. Timing, politics is all about timing and the art of possibility.
And now, reflecting on your time in business and as a firefighter, how has that assisted your role as an MP? Has it made you more well-rounded? Has it provided you with skills that you're using in politics now?
Mm-hmm. So I guess it's kind of a double-part question. So the firefighting side of it, I think it taught me, A, the importance of hard work all and any time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So just because it's 11 o'clock on a sunny night doesn't mean that the job is done, right?
Yeah.
But further than that, it's the teamwork that's built within the fire department. It's the camaraderie. It's the trust. It's knowing that when you're walking into a fire, there's a hand on your shoulder to say, I got your back. And as I'm sure you know, in politics, not all the time are you quite sure who has your back or who wants to stab you in the back. And so that's where the fire department one comes in. On the business side, just this week alone, and I think today's only Wednesday, and I've had a number of meetings, and so many of the meetings, small businesses, so S&M, small and medium-sized businesses, they're saying, Chris, all we want to do is get the red tab out of the way, tell us what the rules are, stop putting more regulation on us, and allow us to run our business. We know what we're doing, we're paying our taxes, but we can't continue to put food on the families' tables of our employees with all of this red tape. And I understand that. We had about 150 employees with our family company on both sides of the border. And Dad always said it. I don't do it for me. I don't do it for my bank account. I do it to put food on the families' tables. And that's a real driver. I can resonate with what they're saying. And I had folks in this office crying a couple days ago because they said, we're trying to do the right thing, but we were absolutely handcuffed by the government. So by the carbon tax, as an example. So I can really feel their pain on that front. And it's something that I know there's only one taxpayer, right? There's only one taxpayer. And 81% of small businesses make up the majority of Canadian businesses and also employ the most people in Canada. So they need our support. And that's where my business, Acumen, really comes back into understanding what the needs are.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes perfect sense. You understand what the red tape was when you're in the business, and now you see it on the other side.
That's right. Right? That's right.
Now, what does an average day look like? You mentioned you've been here since Monday. You're back and forth between here and Ottawa. What does the average day look like to you as a member of parliament for the public that doesn't know?
Sure.
Most don't know, like, what is a day to day?
No, that's a great question, and I love visiting. I love visiting schools. So grade 5 and grade 10 civics classes. I'm just going to start by saying this. I don't think it should only be grade 5 and grade 10 civics classes. I think it should be. It should start in kindergarten to begin to understand what politics is about. Many folks are too busy, and I understand that. And I respect that. They're too busy trying to make a living, trying to put food on their tables when they're done a hard day's work, just trying to get home. But at the end of the day, you know, I meet some folks and they say things like this, and I will answer your question here shortly. They say, you know what, I just don't vote. And I said, that's okay. Just give me your bank card. Would you give me your credit card? Would you give me your bank card? And they said, well, absolutely not. I said, well, you just did. You just did if you don't vote. I don't care who you vote for, but exercise your right. So the reason I say that is the average day can look, which is why it's such a unique opportunity to serve. Every day is different. Every single day is different. So if I'm in the riding, so if I'm back in Essex, the average day for me usually starts at 6 in the morning. Reviewing emails, sometimes making phone calls starting at 7 o'clock in the morning, sometimes heading out for municipal breakfast at 7:30 in the morning. And then my amazing staff, specifically my chief of staff, has me running across the county meeting with every type of stakeholder you could imagine.
Yep.
Okay.
Even little podcast guys like
even
me.
Even podcast guys like yourself. And that is literally, but that's not a Monday to Friday, you know, 5 to 9 job. The majority of our work is actually done well into the evening. The various events, which are so important to go to not only show support, but to understand what critical needs are needed across the county. And outside of all of that, I get to also travel across Canada and sometimes the world on other missions as well. So as a shadow minister for labor, very, very proud and honored that Pierre would ask me to be, Pierre Poilievre, the leader of the Conservative Party, has asked me to be the shadow minister. So I've held that role for about 18 months now. So I travel across from coast to coast to coast and meet with various labor unions, both unionized and non-unionized, to understand what we can do in government to make their life more affordable, easier, and to get more folks into those various things. So that is really outside of Ottawa. Then when I go to Ottawa, this one depends on the day, and it depends on what role. So I also sit on what's called the Transportation Committee. So twice a week, generally twice a week in Ottawa, we have something called committee. And we study various projects and various bills and those types of things. And so that can be any day of the week. Usually it's for 2 hours, a certain set time. Outside of that, of course, every week we have question period. Every day of every sitting week we have question period, so we have to be at that. Then we have something called house duty. And house duty is, as long as the house is sitting on that day, you have to have your bum in the seat.
Yep.
Right? And so in and amongst all those things in Ottawa, other outside folks come in and we have, I don't know, like lots and lots and lots of meetings at our office and then receptions at night. So, you know, it's interesting because it's much more structured in Ottawa as far as our timing goes. You don't get a whole lot of sleep. As opposed to being back in the riding where there's lots and lots and lots to do. So people like to call it our off week. There's never an off week in politics, but I love it to death.
Yes, yeah, it's jam-packed.
It is so, yeah. It is.
Anything about the role that you didn't expect? If somebody's jumping into it, something they should be aware of?
That I didn't expect.
Do you expect it to be this busy? Is it? Are you away from family a fair bit?
Yeah. There's probably a lot. I didn't go into it with any preconceived notion, so I really didn't know what I didn't know. I will answer it this way. I'm what I call a 2019 political baby. And what I mean by that is I was elected in October of 2019. Didn't actually get into the House of Commons until December. Because it took a little over a month to get the new thing going. So I got to sit in the House of Commons, what's supposed to be a normal life, for January. Well, for one, the last week of January and February. And in early March, if you recall, in 2020, what happened?
Pandemic,
COVID hit. So now we have 2 to 2.5 years of you can come to Ottawa. Nope, don't come to Ottawa, right? So we missed so much of that. So the 20
that initial experience.
Yeah, so the class of 2019 is really a very unique class in that we've really never figured out, not figured out, we've never really known what the normal life of politics, federal politics is. So maybe that would be the best way to answer the question, in that I still don't really know what I don't know. All I know is I'm learning quickly along the way.
Yes, yes. But now you're back in session.
Here we go.
Parliament Hill. Can folks tour the building if you're up there and they're around?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that. I love doing that. And then I really do. So yes, anytime folks are from the riding or in town, I always invite them, and my staff will help them out. With regard to setting up a tour, I meet them most all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's really fascinating. And many times I can get them to actually sit in their seat. When I say their seat, on the floor of the House of Commons, it's the people's seat. It's not my seat. And they get to take pictures in the seat. And it's a pretty unique experience. I will say that every time I walk onto the floor of the House of Commons, it's like Game 7 of the Stanley Cup. And I still get the same chills every time I walk in there, and I still can't believe that I'm there.
Yes, you know what? I've never been inside of Parliament Hill, but I've been in Queen's Park. But I think Parliament Hill is much, much
Please
bigger.
Come. Please come, and you'll get a tour.
Yes, I would love that. Now, reflecting on since 2019 when you were elected for the first time, and then there was the snap election.
Sure.
What would you say your most proud of so far? Is there a greatest accomplishment that you would you'd like to share?
Yeah. What I'm most proud of, the accomplishment I'll go second. What mm-hmm. I'm most proud of is my team. Mm-hmm. So I've got a team of, it kind of depends because we have interns, but 7 to 8 strong between here in Essex, the office in Essex, and also our office in Ottawa.
Yep.
The amount of work, the amount of emails and phone calls that they take daily, and the work they do behind the scenes to help people out with everything you could ever imagine under the sun, fills my heart with a whole bunch of warmth, because I know I'm surrounded by good, strong people that care as deeply as I do.
Yes.
But the one story that I'll never forget is a story back in 2021 with, ironically, a woman from Amherstburg. Mm-hmm. And she reached out to her office. So that was right in the very heart of the pandemic. And her husband had to go over to Michigan, was from Michigan, and got a hip surgery. I'm going to say about June. And for about 2.5 weeks leading up to Christmas, my staff, specifically my chief of staff, worked incredibly closely with the immigration minister to try to reunite her husband with her. He couldn't come across the border because of the pandemic.
Yes.
They hadn't saw themselves in 6 months. On the 24th of December, myself, my chief of staff, and the immigration minister's office, we worked diligently doing everything we could to get them reunited. At about 2 o'clock on Christmas Day, we got a phone call from the wife crying and said, "We just want to thank you. My husband's sitting on the couch beside me in Amherstburg." That's the real, that's the magic, that's the things that we can do. If that story doesn't say that people care, I don't know what it is. So
yes,
that's probably my favorite story so far.
It's things like that that affect someone's life so closely that I would imagine you enjoy the most.
That's
right?
It's the best.
Now, what would you say? Is it difficult for a member of parliament? And you mentioned you had a team. You're receiving tons of calls. Most people would assume that you should be answering every single call because you're the one that's elected. Are you able to share how it actually happens behind the scenes and how difficult it is for you to be there every second of the day?
Well, of course I answer every call.
Yeah.
I'm just teasing. No, but you're absolutely right. Yeah. A lot of people think, like, why aren't you answering the phone calls? So I did explain earlier on with regard to, so we're not allowed to talk on the phone when we're on house duty, right?
Yes.
And that can be like 12 hours in a day.
Yep.
So very often, depending on the sitting weeks, I'm not even really here in the Essex office. Mm-hmm. What I will say is my staff goes through every single call. We respond to every last email that comes in. It sometimes doesn't, it's not the same day.
Yep.
We get an awful lot, right?
Yes.
But, and then we'll do follow-up calls. So many of the calls we get are what we call casework. So perhaps an issue with CRA, as an example, that's why I have a very strong staff that helps people walk through. They don't have to talk to me about that. They can,
yeah.
They can deal with my staff with that. But anything like a very, very contentious issue or somebody, sometimes people say, I just want to meet with Chris.
Absolutely.
And my staff will say, okay, well, he's in Ottawa for the next 3 weeks, but we'll schedule something when he's back in town.
Yeah.
And so I think generally speaking, people understand that. I will say it's very remarkable to see how Canadian politics, federal politics work compared to politicians in the United States or just abroad in general. So I'm the equivalent of a congressperson in the United States, and they don't even have their contact information online.
Yeah.
Okay. And so your chance to sit down with a congressperson is like slim to none, right?
Better chance of winning the lottery.
Better chance of winning the lottery, right? And Canadian politicians, for the most part, federal politicians, we just meet with people, right?
Yeah.
So we don't have a big entourage of people protecting us and all those kinds of things. But I had a couple from the Philippines that came over 12 years ago. They were here in the office just 2 days ago. And the husband started to cry. I said, and another small business owner. And I said, what's the problem? He said, I never dreamt I'd ever get to meet a politician. He said, that does not happen in the Philippines. So we have very much an open door policy.
Absolutely.
With regard to let's have a conversation, going back to this conversation. Mm-hmm. Let's just have a chat. We can agree to disagree. We can agree to agree. We can come up with a solution. But without conversation, nothing gets done. So I like this.
Yes.
I like it.
Yeah. And I guess that's where both of our positions differ slightly is they're contacting us directly, but you're receiving issues that are arising in your riding from all different angles.
That's
and right. I would imagine sometimes it can be difficult to field out or let residents know this is a federal issue, this is a provincial issue, this is a municipal issue. Is that something that you're seeing?
Oh, boy. You're going to do a great. You're going to do great. Remember, I said I really wish that civics would start in kindergarten and never end. Probably one of the toughest thing for me is to have to tell somebody I understand what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. We have zero jurisdiction over this because it's a municipal issue.
Mm-hmm.
I was elected federally to represent you federally. And, our MPP was elected provincially to elect you provincially. And you elected your municipal councillor to elect for that. And you elected your school board trustee for the school board, right?
Yeah.
So when I get phone calls about the school board, a lot of folks believe it's a hierarchy. So because I'm federal, I'm in charge of everybody else. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's equal. It's on equal.
You would be a cool boss.
it's on level ground and I believe it's important for me to stay in my lane.
Mm-hmm.
We have enough issues to deal with federally that I don't need to get into somebody else's business. That's why they were elected. If the folks don't like the job they're doing, then they will tell them at election time.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, that's a fair point and completely agree. And it's good that you have those relationships with other levels of government where you can connect them with somebody at the provincial level or the municipal level.
Yeah. But just a quick follow-up to that point, though, because you bring up a really good point. The good thing is I have relationships with folks like yourself across the county. So if something is, I'm going to say, brewing in an area there, I've built some relationships that I can pick up the phone and say, listen, are you coming at this from a certain angle or something that we can help with, right? So I hate saying to somebody, it's municipal, go talk to your counselor. I like to have conversation about it because sometimes there's a different angle I can help with.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Just a few quick questions before we wrap up here. For an aspiring elected official, what would be some advice you could share with them?
One piece of advice. Two pieces of advice. Number one is the most important. Be incredibly careful what you put on social media. Be incredibly cognizant of every single word that you say on social media because the moment you press send, it is gone forever, and it can come back and haunt you. I'm fortunate that I'm a little older, and I didn't do very much social media. But for this generation and future generations, when they start so young, anything, single thing that you say can be take a photo of and used against you in the future. So
yes,
be very, very cognizant of what you do and what you say. Go back to what our parents, many of our parents taught us, is if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. Doesn't mean that you can't be on social media, but be very, very careful. That's number one. And that's the most important. And the second one, and maybe equally as important, but probably most important. The second one is get involved with your community. Understand what it's like to serve before you become a politician, meaning get involved with local campaigns. I don't care who you're helping out or what party you're helping out. Get involved with those campaigns. Get involved with community groups, you know, such as the Lions Club or the Kiwanis Camps and those types of things. Get involved with those types of things and get a mentor. Get a mentor that you can trust, that you can trust. Surround yourself with great people, and ultimately they will be the one to elevate you up the ladder. Be true to yourself. Be true to your morals. Don't lie, of course. But that's the greatest advice. And the last piece is, don't take no for an answer. Meaning, if somebody tells you no, find somebody else that'll say, I'll walk the journey with you. Let's go do it together. Let's do it for the right reasons.
Yes. Yes. So true. Very, very true. And especially the social media. That was my biggest fear is, you know, growing up with Snapchat and all these other apps and being in a public setting, now you don't have control over who's going to take that photo or who's going to take that video.
That's right.
Not that I was doing anything wrong, but it's like, you're always watching now, right?
That's it.
Even in a closed door meeting.
Absolutely.
So I definitely can relate to that. Now, my final question I'll leave with you. The next federal election could be taking place on or before October 20th, 2025, from my understanding. What are your goals between now and then in the riding of Essex?
Absolutely. So so the first thing is, ironically, with the by October 20th, I do believe it's going to be pushed out by 1 week. So the Liberals, the Liberal NDP coalition, have tabled what's called Bill C-65 in the House of Commons. I think it was last Thursday. And that is for them to push it off 1 week. Mm-hmm. Why would they do that, do you think?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what they'll tell you is on the 20th, there's a municipal election in Alberta.
Okay.
Okay. And they'll also tell you, will not tell you it's the truth, there's also a religious thing going on that week. But if they push it off by a week, then all the people that are going to lose their seats also lose their pension by 1 day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So what I'm suggesting is, let's just move it ahead a week, right? Mm-hmm. Let's just move it ahead a week. So if Canadians are suffering, make us work harder for our, you know, for our pensions. So that's my first point. What do I wish to accomplish? I wish to continue to listen to as many folks across the as riding as possible. The truth of the matter is, they have the answers, right? So small businesses, medium-sized businesses have the answers. Community centers, they have the answers.
It's about listening to it.
It's all about listening to it, getting knowledge, and really understanding what the needs are. Because my driver is, and Pierre Poilievre's driver is, we need to be ready to hit the ground running the moment that we form government. So our job is to get across to everybody, as many people as we can, and understand. That's the biggest driver for me. But the second one in the meantime is my private member's bill, Bill C-241, which is a labor mobility bill, which we got through the House of Commons.
Fantastic.
Right?
Congrats.
We got through the House of Commons with the support of the Bloc, Bloc Québécois, and the NDP. Unfortunately, not the support of the Liberals. It's now in the Senate. I've got through both levels, so first reading in the Senate, as well as went to be a witness at committee. And now, under the direction of Justin Trudeau, it's been stalled. So as independent senators, the Liberal independent senators, have shelved it. And so I'm going to continue to work incredibly hard with the independent senators to ask them to please bring it to the floor of the Senate. This is going to help labor, enormously help labor, to get them active. So as an example, and you see it all the time, the Gordie Howe International Bridge. We have 6,500 workers there. 80% of them are from out of town. Okay? They're going to need a home across Canada. where's the next Gordie Howe Bridge, right? Or where's the next hospital? Or where are we going to send these skilled trades? And they're not going to go unless they can write off their travel expenses. And so I'm going to continue to fight very, very, very hard within the Senate for that, because I know that labor is the driver for Canada. Labor will build back this country. Labor will build the homes. Labor will ultimately build our infrastructure. And that's a huge driver for me. So speaking to the people, listening to the people, and trying to get Bill C-241 through the House of Commons.
Lots of work to do, and
there's lots.
Short period of time.
And I guess the last thing is, it should be the first one because it affects everybody. I'm going to continue to work to scrap this darn carbon tax. It's mind-boggling. So on April the 1st, 23% rise on everything, on your food, on the fuel that you use to put in your vehicle. On April 1st, April Fool's Day, Justin Trudeau and the Liberals, Jagmeet Singh and the NDP, and Monsieur Blanchet and the Quebec, Bloc Québécois have already voted for it to rise. 23% on all Canadians. That's the young adult. That's the young adult that still lives in his parents' basement because he can't afford to get ahead. Although he works darn hard, makes a good living, can't afford a home. If he can afford a home, he can't afford the food or the insurance in the vehicle, all because this is the third time the carbon tax comes in. And now, next April 1st, number 4 is coming. So that's not fair. That's not right. My 25-year-old, my 23-year-old, my 21-year-old, great jobs, great careers. They all live in my basement. So I know what it's like, and I'll continue to pound the pulpit in the House of Commons to ensure that conservatives get this darn thing removed, because it's not fair to everyone else.
I'm excited for what's to come, and the what is it, a little over almost 2 years until election time?
Well, it could be up to 18 months.
Yeah. 18 months. Yeah. So lots of months ahead, but as MP Chris Lewis mentioned, he's looking to learn from business owners and residents as much as possible between now and election day.
That's right. to
continue to make change. So I definitely recommend reaching out to his office and contacting him if you have any questions or concerns. You're definitely always available, so I appreciate that. So thanks so much for this episode. I learned a lot, and if folks want to watch it online, visit coffeewithcraner.com.
Thanks a million. Keep up the great work as well. I hear a lot of great things about you down in the Amherstburg area.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work. It's sure nice to have young, fresh ideas, lots of energy. To bring to your council. So keep up the great work. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Talk soon.
Take care, folks.